Hey, could you please start the recording?
Recording has started.
Thank you.
Alice, can you just let us know who's on the call?
So far on the call, we have Emily, Lynn, Sarmad, Peter, Omar, Kim, James, Bill, Susan. We have apologies from Michael, Olive, Sharon, and Kathy.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, we have the draft agenda that you see in the discussion notes. Does anybody have anything, any comments or anything to add or any items of AOD? Okay, can we adopt the agenda, please? Any objections? Okay, the agenda is adopted. We have the preliminary report from our last meeting, which was the 17th of August. Does anybody have any corrections of fact? I think this has been circulating on the list for a while.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
Sorry about that.
So any corrections of fact or any other comments or additions to make to the preliminary report? May I propose that we adopt the preliminary report? Any objections? Okay, so adopted. Lynn, first
yes.
of all, thank you very much for, and also thank you very much to Olof in his absence and to Alice and all of the team for getting the contract signed and getting the consumer research up on its feet. I think that's a real achievement, and thank you for guiding it. I'm sure we've all been reading your updates, and I see that there was quite a healthy discussion on the list about the countries, and that there was good engagement on that. But can you give us a sense of where we're up to and what's happening?
Yes, because I limited the selection of countries to just our sub-team. But first let me say also a thank you to the ICANN staff. And Olof had done a super job of anticipating that this was going to happen and that we would have to move quickly. And then Denise Michelle also really jumped through some hoops for us. So, you know, we had tremendous support from the ICANN staff. in the timeline, what we have worked out, and I think the team is going to be very pleased with this, the research is divided into two phases, and the first phase is qualitative research that is more in-depth, in-person interviews with a small sample of 20 people. And those interviews will be videotaped, and so instead of us having to try and travel or be in present to observe those interviews, a copy of all the videotaping will be available to us. The people who participate in this qualitative research are not giving their permission to have it posted on the web, but they are giving permission for it to be shared with a client. So our project team will definitely be able to view that. And right now they're busy recruiting those people and getting that all scheduled. For Marina Del Rey, their commitment is to have the high-level findings of the qualitative research and the videotapes available. And you know, that they have told me that in their experience, the follow-on quantitative research will bring out more details and nuances, but they don't expect it to have any drastic deviation from the high-level findings in the qualitative phase at the beginning. The quantitative research will be online surveys conducted, and the minimum sample in a given country is 100 in order to be valid. So in our selection of countries, we had to consider a number of factors in addition to looking at just geography of the world. We had to think about some of the practical aspects of getting at least 100 people to participate in an online survey in a really, you know, short, expedited time frame. Because I guess to come back to the timeline, their commitment is to have the final report on all the quantitative research to us by the end of that week of the Dakar meeting. With the thought that for the drafting of our paper for comment prior to Dakar, we will have the high-level findings of the qualitative findings, and then we will have all the results of the quantitative research in time to finish the final draft of our paper and integrate it with comments that we receive, public comments and so forth. And then I guess the last point, let me go over the 10 countries we ended up with. In the Americas region, we have Argentina, Brazil, and the United States. In Asia Pacific, we have Australia, China, and India. In Europe, we have France, Germany, and Spain. In Africa, we have South Africa, and we tried very hard to select a country in the Middle East or in that part of the world, and there were different constraints. Some of them cost, some of them the time it would take to get 100 participants. You know, I regret we don't have a country from the Middle East, but with that being said, this is still a good global representation.
Thank you very much for that update, Lynn. Can I throw the floor open to the rest of the team to make any comments or raise any questions?
Emily, can you speak up? I can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry. Does anybody have any comments or questions to raise?
Well, I mean, I just wanted to add on Emily's comments. Thank you very much, Lynn, for the work, it was entertaining our comments and going back and forth with the consultant. So I really appreciate your efforts, and I know how much time it must have taken. Save me, my gratitude is added to Emily's.
Thank you. I do feel very encouraged that this is going to give us another perspective that we would not get from the ICANN community. And if it's the same perspective, then that'll just be good validation.
Mm. That's
Emily, this is Kathy. I'd love to join you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, please. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, Lynn, thank you. Let me join everyone's gratitude, and I apologize, there's some background noise here. I'm on the road, I don't have my computer open, and I can't right now. But I did want to hear what you were saying, and I apologize if you've already answered the question, but of the 20 people being interviewed, what's the litmus test? What criteria do they have to meet in order to go into this detailed interview? What are you looking for?
Right, we're using our selection of countries, is one factor, but then in addition to that, they're getting a cross-section of like ages, education levels, and other demographic attributes. They also they call it recruiting these people for this qualitative research. They also look at the ways these different people use the internet, so they try and make sure that there's diversity in like the type of internet use, and some of them will be like people who use the internet frequently for a lot of things, and some of them will be people who just do email and everybody in between. So they look for that kind of diversity as well, along with the traditional demographic attributes.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
I thought at one point there had been a discussion, and maybe it got bypassed, that the people that we're interviewing have some knowledge already of the Who Is. And is that still being continued, or
no? In order to really get an objective look at consumer trust, what I did ask for is to make sure we included some in the mix. I mean, not 100%, but in the mix we have at least. I didn't specify a quantity of people, but I said we wanted to have domain name registrants included, and somebody that had had the experience of, procuring a domain. And I told them, some of the kinds of things we're interested there are, were they aware when they bought the domain that their contact details would be publicly available via Who Is, and that kind of thing. I'm not attempting to suggest questions to these people because this is their expertise, but I've tried to give them enough background that they can do a good job of selecting the people for the qualitative research.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And I think that... I, for one, feel quite confident listening to your description that the selection of the qualitative interviewees seems quite rigorous and that there is an attempt to ensure diversity, and that will include diversity of knowledge on the subject matter as well, because that tells us something too. As long as we have some, if you like, some more expert users as well as more ordinary users, I think that this will give us a good feel for what to expect from the larger study. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Right, is there anything else on that one, or shall we move on to discussion about the gap analysis? Okay. First of all, again, I think we were saying it earlier, Peter, thank you very much for your draft. It's provided a lot of comments on the list, and thank you very much to those who've taken the time to go through the draft in detail and make your comments. I think that this will enrich the whole process.
Yeah. Emily, just one more point is for Marina Del Rey, if we could possibly... allow our supplier to have time on the agenda. They plan to be ready to present the results of the qualitative research. And, I didn't think it's necessary for them to attend in person, but I thought perhaps we could have them dial in, and they can send us their report and videotapes in advance.
That's great. Yes, we'll make sure we do that.
Okay.
We'll discuss offline how long you think they need, and we'll feed that into the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Great. Right, the gap analysis. Peter, do you want to just say a few words about where you're up to, your plans for what next, and et cetera?
Sure. So it seems that the first section, the first part, which is on privacy proxy, obviously has started some very useful discussions. So I think that's a good thing. As we said earlier, for those who joined later, I think this is going to be probably one of the trickier bits of the report for us, so it's good that we're into it as early as possible. I'm working on the accuracy part, and which, as I've developed, it includes a fair bit of stuff to do with ICANN's compliance activities. And I'm hoping to have... I know I've said this before, so I apologise that it's taken so long, but that draft will will be out early next week. It'll still have some gaps, so I apologize, and obviously it'll be, as the proxy one was, a sketch of a framework, really, like with some bits fleshed out, but I haven't had time to reflect every possible perspective, but I am trying to get the flow from the beginning to the end, and then there'll obviously be some bits that needs to be padded out a bit and some perspectives built in and the arguments fleshed out and so on, but early next week for accuracy / ICANN's compliance as it relates to accuracy.
Great. Thank you very much, Peter. And just to recap on the discussion before, while we were waiting for the start of the call, I asked Alice to make sure that the transcript, or rather the audio of the meetings that we had with various stakeholders in the ICANN meetings and any notes we had. Do you remember various people volunteered to take notes of those meetings? If you've got any notes of stakeholder meetings to help Peter put together the gap analysis so that we have the full spectrum of views and not just the outliers on either on the farthest points of the spectrum, then that will also make sure that we are acknowledging the inputs that we've had and getting a fair spectrum. Does anybody else want to come in on this? What do we do? Do we continue to make comments on the draft? Are we done with that yet? How do we take this on now?
This is Lynn. I mean, I feel like, we would benefit from, if not more dialogue, more work on the draft. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm just sort of, I'm saying, are we comfortable with the way the work is going? Are we comfortable to continue to make comments on the list? Does anybody feel like something needs to change in the way that we're working? I'm just sort of canvassing you. I'm not actually trying to lead to any answer. I'm just asking for views and input on that.
This is Kim. I think the way it worked so far is actually working quite nicely, and I think we've gotten some very valuable input. And I think we just have to wait for the next iteration and then go from there. So I think the approach is actually working.
Good. Is it working for you, Peter?
It's working for me. I mean, I did a first draft and people have commented and been in putting in edits and fleshing out parts of the argument, and there is some debate over some segments, which I fully anticipated, and I'm glad have started to see the light of day. So it's working from my point of view. I've practically, while I'm working on this accuracy chapter, there will be no more input from me on this one for a little while. I'm happy to respond to comments as I read them, but I'm probably going to have my head down. So other people should feel free to take the pen on this for a while.
Great. Well, I think that anybody who feels that they haven't commented, Kim, you mentioned before the call started that you've worked on a markup of the current draft. Thank you very much for doing that. Look forward to you sharing that. And let's keep these comments flowing in. Peter, look forward to the next iteration with the data accuracy section. And those three broad areas that are highlighted at the top, does that cover off all of the areas that we highlighted when we, put the bare bones of this together in Singapore, or are there elements that we still need to think about covering?
If I'm not sure, to be honest. There may be a few bits and pieces which will. I guess I was trying to think of a structure where we leveraged the main areas that people said were concerns, and also I was using sort of the nomenclature that was in the AOC language, so that there was a cluster of things around accessibility, unrestricted complete access, which seemed to me to fall to this link in with the privacy concerns. So I was hoping to deal with all those things in the segment which is out there now. So to the extent that it's not, then people probably need to remind me that it's not or put in some content. And in the accuracy section, I was going to hide that off from compliance, but I found that very difficult in practice because a lot of the commentary where people have commented that ICANN could do more, things that it likes, what ICANN is doing, tends to largely be around accuracy or the privacy concept, i.e. they're not regulating at the moment and potentially should and so on. So I actually found compliance quite difficult to pull off into a separate section. So probably the input you'll get from me will actually just be two sections, and then we'll have to think about if there are some things not covered by the privacy slash accessibility part of the question and then the accuracy part of the question. To flesh out for inaccuracy, the more I've thought about it, things like thick, thin, who is, I think can be drawn into that chapter, and that's one part I fully anticipate not having fully fleshed out. That's probably going to have some square brackets around it, but I think that fall will, in the structure I'm thinking of, fall into the accuracy area.
Great. Well, just to let you know, Peter, that when I was drafting up the description of compliance section, the implementation section, as we call it, that mm-hmm. actually naturally led to quite a lot of gap identification. So mm-hmm. it might be that when we look at the two together, that there's a bit in there that we can, either put into the gap analysis or leave where it is or something. But that I found it difficult to write the implementation section without sort of leading on to gaps, and I might even have gone into some draft recommendations I can't even remember. But so
I share your this is the thing I've been having. I had the same thing. I found it very hard to do the gaps without actually leading to recommendations, which is why I took the liberty of just popping them in there and seeing what getting some responses out on them. So
yeah, and I think we'll come back to what to do with recommendations in a little while. I think it's on the agenda, item 7, so mm-hmm. let's just keep that thought in mind. So, okay, thank you very much, everybody, for the participation. I think we just carry on as we are with this gap analysis. We should expect it to be quite lively. It's the most controversial area. And those who haven't had the opportunity yet to make comments, please do so, because we are all drawn from different areas. We all have a valuable input to make and our own experiences, and look carefully to see that, you know, that from your perspective, from your background, that the views that you're familiar with are represented fairly too. And that will give us a three-dimensional approach, I hope. So let's carry on as we were and keep going with that. And our aim is to have it in a good shape well before we meet together in LA. Okay. Now, the next item on the agenda, I helpfully put Michelle, in fact, meaning Denise, but I don't know if Denise is able to join us on the call, Alice. It's just to highlight, really, to us all that Denise posted staff response to the compliance questions that we put together way back in January, and that is on the wiki. I think that should probably be folded into the compliance section in some way, and my request for people who went to Marina Del Rey, so that's Bill, James, Susan, I think, is can you please have a look at the compliance section and add a report in about the meeting, because you all experienced it, and just a few paragraphs would be good. Can one of you do that for me?
This is Susan. I can do that.
That's great. Thank you, Susan. Okay, shall we do update on progress from other sections? I can tell you on behalf of Sharon that Sharon and I are going to meet next week and try and pull together the comments that we've had. Thank you for that. And see whether we can just bring the definition section on and share that with you at some point next week. Lynn, thank you for your draft. I saw that Bill had made very positive comments about it. And obviously we've got placeholders there while we're awaiting the consumer research. Kat,
right.
Or James, can you update me on where the policy section is?
I'm sorry, were you speaking to me, Emily? This is James.
Hello, James. Well, I'm kind of speaking to you or Kathy. Kathy, are you still on the call?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, I can address that. Is that, as I mentioned privately, I think as an aside to you and to Kathy, is that I really have not had any time to dedicate to this over the last several weeks. I expect that to change here in the next, in the beginning, probably after the holiday, because my internal training circuit as well as the launch of a new GTLD have meant that I should have some additional time and some bandwidth I can put on this. I don't anticipate that it will be necessarily difficult or controversial. It's just a gathering exercise of a lot of the different things that we've already covered, and most notably in San Francisco.
Well, that's fantastic, James. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot because I know that we have spoken and that you have been immensely busy. Do you think that you'll be able to share a draft with us before the LA meeting?
Yes.
Great.
Well, wait. So this is Kathy. Let me just double check. You're taking it back, James, which is great.
Yes, I thought that we had. I'm sorry. My understanding was that we were looking for something before the end of August, and my concern, as we mentioned a while back, was just that I didn't think that I was going to be able to deliver on that. But if we're looking for something before LA, I believe that that is reasonable and that is something I could deliver.
Oh, fantastic.
That's great. So,
yeah, I would certainly appreciate another set of eyeballs, though, Kathy, if you want to edit.
You got it, James. Absolutely.
Well, and as James said, this is unlikely to be controversial. It's just gathering what we've already seen.
Was that Bill?
Yes, it was. And I think just to follow up on what Bill said, I think also the work that you and Kathy did in preparation from San Francisco really gets us 80% of the way there. To my mind, it was a very thorough piece of work that you both did in giving that inventory, and so it's almost like sitting down with your PowerPoint slides and writing them up into a narrative, I think. Okay. Well, that's all looking like it's on track. Has anybody got any comments to make at this stage?
Sorry, James, with one additional
James,
point.
Thank you. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Once that is finished, I'm trying to think if this is a proper way to say this. You know, we should probably take a look at the materials that Kathy and I presented versus and kind of hold that up to the light versus what we heard from compliance in Marina Del Rey and make sure that those two sections, line up, or at least very closely line up. I think there were some concerns that what registries and registrars perceive their obligations to be under the Who Is policy as it stands today might exceed what ICANN is testing for. And then that might be, if that is the case, that certainly was my perception, but I can't substantiate that right now. But if that is the case, then there's clearly, some low-hanging fruit as far as recommendations for GAP.
Yeah, that's a very good point, James. And I think it should become obvious as the pieces of the report start to come together I expect at first they'll look very disjointed, and this is one of the things that we can look out for. So if you keep a hold of that thought, that would be very useful.
And Emily, can I have another one?
Yes, please.
I went back to read the transcript of the meeting in Singapore with the registry stakeholder group and found a very, very interesting short discussion on this topic and on related topics that an interchange, which I thought was fascinating. I think Chuck Gomes was involved and Jeff Newman with the review team, talking about the affirmation of commitments, talking about the contracts, talking about existing policy, and kind of asking about where the line is between our job as a review team, our job as a policy, you know, whether we're making policy, and also whether the affirmation of commitment is in and of itself new policy or reinforcing existing policy. I don't know if you guys remember, but I just found it to be a fascinating, fascinating discussion in Singapore. So I think between the chapter on policy and the chapter on compliance, we'll be getting into some of these issues and what the affirmation of commitment adds to the existing, you know, as it implements and supports existing policy.
Yes, thank you very much for that. That was indeed a very rich session. And we also got some really good insight into how the registrars and registries view the compliance team's efforts, which I think that we need to reflect somewhere in the report. And yeah, thanks for raising that. The next topic on the agenda is really just to remind us all of the recommendations document, which is up on the wiki, and I was looking at before the call. We're also starting to get recommendations popping up, not just in the gap analysis, but also in other areas of the draft report. I'd like to just consider together for a moment what the best approach on the recommendations is right now. Do we, try to whittle down the recommendations and write them up into, they've been clustered under various headings. Do we try to write them out the recommendations out of the individual comments? Do we leave it for now and wait until we've got a bit further with our draft report? How do we capture the recommendations that are floating around in other areas of the report? Can I have some suggestions, please? Jane?
Hi, Emily. Jane speaking. As far as recommendations, I think at this point they should be captured and considered at best to be placeholders. I'm concerned that once these things are written onto paper, then they start to develop some sort of an inertia on their own, and that further work, including the results of the consumer study, might have to go a little bit further to dislodge them from their places. So I just, you know, if we can put them in italics or something to indicate that they are... that the recommendations are, in fact, placeholders. And then there might also be some merit, and I just want to propose this and see what the group thinks, in determining in advance what criteria or what tests a recommendation should contain. So, for example, it should be actionable, it should be measurable, it should not overlap with existing policy, it should be enforceable, you know, some things like that that might, it might help us. I think if I do recall with the ATRT, that was kind of a last-minute scramble to put together some success metrics and implementation timetables and things. So if we can get out ahead of that with recommendations, but leaving them sort of in a pencil state right now, I think that would probably save us a lot of heavy lifting down the road.
Thanks a lot for that. Peter?
First, thanks to James for sort of saying some of the things I wanted to say, but I think this is, I'm starting to get a bit nervous about us, our lead up to Marina Del Rey. It may just be me because I've sort of had my head buried down in detail, but I'm starting to get quite worried that I'm missing things. So I think this your point about recommendations there in several different places and so on is a very astute observation, and I think we can broaden it to lots of other things as well. So I wonder if we could somehow in our preparations for Marina Del Rey start to pull, make sure we've got everything in the one place for us. So we've already talked about some of the written notes from the meetings, which from my perspective, a lot of those I haven't had the chance to go to because of the conflicts with GAC work. So I'm largely unaware of what was said in a lot of those meetings, I must confess. So is there a way to get so that we can sort of start with only a couple of weeks before we turn up in Marina Del Rey to start to bring all the bits and pieces together to make our life a bit easier, because we've only got 2 days there on Mindful, and from my thinking there's still lots of threads hanging. Is there some way we can recruit someone to help us pull the threads together?
Well, I think that perhaps we could ask Alice and Olof when he returns whether you could go through the sections of the report and just literally dump any recommendations into the draft recommendations pot so that they're all in one place and we kept track of them. Would that be possible to do so that we've got that in advance of Marina Del Rey? I also, there are various other things. Is it realistic to get notes of, thank you, Alice, your confirmation that you're happy to work on this. Is it realistic, Alice, to get some draft notes of the stakeholder meetings that we attended? I know that there are a lot of them. Or do we rely only on the audio in our preparation?
What we could do is build a document, a notes document, based on the transcripts. That would be more reliable, I think. So I'm happy to work on that as well, if that's helpful.
That's great. Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay.
That gives us that gives you a lot of work and us a sense that at least two of the things that we're worried about missing, we're dealing with. I think that one of the things, talking about missing things, I tried to think in advance of this call what we were missing. We'd definitely all agreed that CCTLD best practices or good practices is a good idea. We got some very good input in response to the issues paper. And I don't want to just forget about that. I think that I'm trying to think of the best point in the report where we could deal with those. We've got a section called use cases and things, but I don't think anybody's working on that. Have we dropped a ball on this? Anybody?
Peter here. I have mixed recollections of this, I guess, so I'll just put this out there and see if other people have better memories than me. But I think in Singapore there was a move away from doing use cases. But my memory is a bit clear. And in terms of if anyone is working on it, I recall a little while back Lutz pulling together a document which had some use cases. Spelled out under certain headings and dot points. And I think I may have commented on that, asking what it was for, and Lutz's reply was that his understanding that it was for the report. So there may have been some work done somewhere, but it's a little while back, potentially before all our attentions sharpened up to quite the degree they have because of our deadline. So there may be something out there.
Yeah, this relative to consumer trust, I don't know if this is what is considered to be use cases, but you know, in the key concepts on consumer trust, I tried to capture, you know, what would be the uses that consumers would have of WHOIS data. You know, why would a consumer use WHOIS? Or how would it be relevant to them? But I don't know if that was what was intended by use cases.
Okay. So we've got a sentence that we would like to include but don't quite know where: CCTLD good practices and use cases. Alice has put up a link to Lutz's document that you mentioned, Peter. The other aspect that I'm not quite sure that we've got fully in line is, are all of the issues that we raised in the issues paper covered in the draft that we're now taking on, or are there any areas that we're missing? Anybody?
I do think that the best practices of the CCTLDs does need to be included, Emily.
Okay. Would anybody like to volunteer to have a look at this? James, you want the floor? Please, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were moving on. I will hold my hand until we're...
Okay. Kim, are you still on the call? I think he might have dropped off.
I still am here.
Kim, I was going to ask whether you could volunteer for something.
Sure. What would you like me to volunteer for?
You're making sort of you're making kind of squeaking noises. But I was wondering whether you could pull out the CCTLD comments from the issues paper and start to describe some other approaches. Not going to get anything near a comprehensive view, but I think that it's just literally examples to pull out of how other people are handling things. We can decide where we put it, even if it's in an appendix, but I think it's probably going to be useful to us as we review the gap analysis recommendations, and it may well itself become a recommendation that there's some sort of repository of good practice or something like that.
Yep. Sure, I'll do that. I'll do that. So do you want to have the first draft for our Marina Del Rey meeting, or?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Okay. I'll do that.
That's great. Thank you very much, Kim.
Yep.
James, do you want to put your hand up again? I think we're now moving on to expectations for Marina Del Rey, unless there's...
Okay, well, this is probably somewhere between item number 7 and item number 9 on the agenda. So why don't I just go ahead and throw it out here in number 8, and we'll see if it's an expectation for MDR or not. And this is something that I'm going to ask Bill and Susan to help me refresh my memory on when we were discussing this in with compliance. There were two areas that I felt that our reports or our discussions at this point are perhaps could be considered omissions. One is what ICANN compliance and ICANN staff are doing to verify, enforce, check, or test registry compliance with their WHOIS obligations. I think one of the things that was surprising to me, and I apologize, Susan, if this is already mentioned in your report, I haven't had a chance to look at it, but one of the things that surprised me was the takeaway from my perspective was that all of the compliance efforts were focused on registrar activity. So that's something I think that we might want to take a look at. And there was another area where we focused significantly on the concept of accuracy of the WHOIS data, but I don't know that we've spent a proportionate amount of time on the access to the WHOIS as a service. And I think it's accessibility that's specifically mentioned in the AOC, but maybe is not a... has not been a thrust of our investigations to date. And so I just wanted to kind of put that out there, those two areas that I think that as we continue down the road, we want to make sure comprehensive report would include at least some space reserved for those items. And of course, if I'm getting that wrong or if Bill and Susan remember something differently, then please chime in.
This is Susan. So, James, are you saying availability or when you use the term accessibility?
Well, we discussed the idea of access, and I think we discussed availability as one. We discussed the concept that there might be an SLA associated with the WHOIS services.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed what reasonable efforts registrars should be able to implement to protect against harvesting or abuse of their WHOIS systems. So, you know, I think we had just a number of sort of loose ends that we were discussing relative to WHOIS access of the WHOIS system and not necessarily the accuracy of what that system, the system's data content.
I'll have to go back and, because I don't even remember what I wrote in my report right this second. So I'll go back and look.
And I apologize. I haven't even taken a look yet. So.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I do remember, I think, very distinctly that when we asked ICANN staff what their efforts were relative to WHOIS compliance enforcement with registries, that the answer was they don't exist.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think we were that question was met with silence, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Susan, maybe the place we can start with that is obviously in the little section that you're going to add in on compliance, and we can just raise the point there. That deals with one of the two issues that you've highlighted, James, and then the. Access as a service, I'm not sure where, I agree, there's also another thread that's come through. Kathy, you raised this in your deep dive of the comments, that there's a whole other thread about what's the purpose of the WHOIS now and in the future, which we keep agreeing again that we need to deal with, but we don't quite know where. Alice, would it be possible to just put together in one place these items that we're raising about stuff we don't want to forget about and we don't want to move to leave out?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. Absolutely, no problem at all. Would you rather have this on the private wiki, on the public wiki? Just what would you prefer?
Let's have it on the private wiki with the draft at the moment, because it's very much a working document. Sorry, Peter, you've been standing with your hand up. Go ahead.
I just wanted to because, again, I unfortunately haven't circulated the next slab of stuff that I've been working on, wanted to mention that I had taken at least note of the comments, which I think was in Susan's report, from the meeting with the compliance staff about the work or lack thereof that ICANN compliance is doing with registries. So, and just to give you a little insight on what I'm hoping to kick out, what I will send out next week is the way I'm structuring the section on accuracy / compliance is by breaking it up by actors. So looking at registrants' roles and responsibilities, registrars' roles and responsibilities, and registries, roles and responsibilities, and then ICANN / ICANN staff's roles and responsibilities. So to the extent that people think that structure is going to work when they see it, there will be a placeholder for talking about registries, like the roles and rights and responsibilities, roles of registries, and how effective they're being and ICANN is being in its oversight of that. So there will be a place there for that. And in terms of accessibility, I was just one thing which I've started to think about and which I was prompted by seeing Lynn's very useful draft that she sent around on the consumer key concepts was thick WHOIS. And this, I must confess, is something that I haven't, thick versus thin WHOIS, isn't something that I've given a great particular thought to yet, but was hoping again to put into the registry part of this thing that I'm doing, probably with just some square brackets around it at this stage for assistance in filling out. But in Lynn's document, it sort of emphasised to me that in terms of accessibility, like, you know, the person who is not an expert internet user trying to find who is data, being faced with thin who is and then having to find their way to a registry and these additional steps that they will need to go to is a significant part, I would think, of a accessibility question. So it's possible that we can deal with it. It crosses over with that issue anyway. So.
Thank you, Peter. I was going to say I'm sure that Susan or James or both will be able to make some comments, and I see, Susan, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I did write up sort of to add on to Lynn's consumer topics, and so I sent it to Lynn because, and not to the whole group, because I thought maybe she and I should work on it together before we send it to the whole group. But I did a step-by-step what a consumer would need to do to look up a Whois record, and compared the thick Whois to the thin Whois, and actually a recommendation, you know, I think the group should make is that .com and .net is converted to a thick Whois, and I think, you know, I can send you that, Peter, and just because once you, if you really are unfamiliar with the Whois record and how to find it, it's pretty burdensome for a consumer, in my opinion, because I look up probably 100 a day, and it sometimes takes me 10, 15 minutes to find the right source for one. So, you know, they're getting fewer and far between that way. But and there's an example of a domain name that, you know, I looked up in at markmonitor.com, godaddy.com, enom, and NSI, and there was no records at any of those four. So, and that just goes to the issues with having the thick Whois at the registrar and a thin Whois at the registry. So I think that is an area that we need to highlight. And I may have put too much detail to that in what I drafted and sent to Lynn, but I'm sure we can figure out.
Yeah, Susan, I'm sorry I didn't have the presence of mind to forward it on to the whole group, but I thought it was very good. And I'll go ahead and send that to our whole list.
Well, I just wanted to give you the chance to look at it first before, you know, since you had originated the document.
Yeah, that was really kind of you. But I think, you know, going forward, everybody should just jump in here to expand that out. And, you know, I guess one of the other things that in reading over the other sections that has occurred to me is that in all the discussion of privacy, it doesn't seem clear, like there's a clear acknowledgement that privacy protection does not extend to commercial activity. It does not extend to business entities. And so there's a in privacy law, there is a distinction between individuals and commercial activity, and the privacy laws and requirements don't apply to businesses. So, you know, in talking about Whois registrants, for instance, that's where I had that kind of reaction. I'm thinking, well, you know, what percentage of Whois registrants are individuals that are not doing commercial activity? I don't know, and I can't find any statistics on that. I've thought about the trend of social media that, you know, when the Internet was new, I remember a lot of people got domain names to have their family web page, and they would put pictures on it and so forth. And now as the Internet is evolving, that seems to me to be less common, but that's just my perception. So I've thought about that trend and how that relates to... again, but there's two privacy dimensions. Just to come back, there's the privacy issue of registrants who are individuals not involved in commercial activity, but then there's also the privacy of people who are just using the internet. And I mentioned this in the concept paper, but now, like just visiting a website, you know, a tremendous amount of personal data can be collected, and you're not even aware of it. It's not where you've consciously entered anything to conduct a transaction. So I think that aspect of privacy is a growing consumer concern.
And that's another.
Can I just quickly interrupt? I have to unfortunately leave now.
Yes, Peter's got his hand up, but Peter, you're comfortable with Kim just coming in now?
Of course. Yes.
No, I just actually wanted to let you know that I'm leaving.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks.
Good night, and thanks for volunteering.
Yeah, you're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Peter, please go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to follow on from Lynn's point, which I think is heads off into a really useful discussion in terms of privacy. And I just wanted to, if it's not clear from the sort of gap analysis that I circulated, I just wanted to highlight at least the start of my thinking on this to get the idea out there and get some commentary on it. ICANN has a procedure which effectively allows recognition of any national privacy law, as I understand it, and it appears to have been successfully used in the past. So my starting point when I was looking at the privacy question is that national privacy law is able to be respected under the current framework. So the question which we then face in looking at who is broadly is it beyond what is provided in national privacy law required? And that seems to me to be the starting point. So ICANN has a commitment to providing accurate and complete whois. It appears that there is a mechanism there to deal with any conflicts with that requirement with national privacy or data protection laws or whatever laws there are in place. And the question is beyond that, do we need anything additional? Now, it seemed to me from what we heard from the community that there was a big call for something additional, which is why it seemed that there would be a potential justification for keeping privacy services. But my starting point is that national laws are able to be respected under the current framework without privacy services being in place. That's my initial thinking on this.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Does anybody have any other comments on that?
Yeah, Kathy.
Kathy.
And I'm sorry if I'm adding background noise here, and also I have to get going. But this may be, I'd like to request that we add this discussion maybe to the next meeting, because I think it's very important, and I think there are very, very different understandings of where privacy rights originate from in the group. Certainly data protection is one of them, and certainly there are some countries where there is a bright line between commercial and non-commercial. In many other countries, that's not the case, and some privacy protections originate from other freedoms, including the Declaration of Human Rights and the First Amendment, political privacy, so that you can have the Democratic Party or any local party selling a bumper sticker without losing their rights of anonymity for political speech. So privacy rights originate from other places. Also, business to business tend to have a lot more privacy. Am I still on? Can people hear me?
Yes.
Or did I get this? In the United States, one of my first allies, frankly, in some of the privacy issues was the U.S. Small Business Administration. In the U.S., a lot of the growth in jobs, not right now, but generally a lot of the growth in jobs and innovation come from small businesses. And often those are home-based now. And often, frankly, they're mom-run and part-time. And there is actually a lot of privacy protection for those, because often they're engaged not in dealing with the public, but in business-to-business relations, where the disclosure of information is on a contract-by-contract basis. So law firms that used to hire me as an expert attorney in internet law, I had a website up, I had things up, but I didn't necessarily have to disclose everything on whether it was in documents to the state and to the federal government. or to the business I was dealing with, they would receive the information, but it wasn't necessarily disclosed to the public because I didn't deal with the public. So I'd like to suggest that we put a note in this and think about this a little further, maybe have a longer discussion when Kim's still online, because this is becoming an increasingly important part of our understanding is what our underlying assumptions are about privacy and data protection. And I'm hoping our CCTLDs and maybe some of the people outside the GNSO who are on the group can help add to it. But this is going to be very important, and I think we should make very, very sure we know what our assumptions are going in and kind of question them and look at them. And I'd like to do the same thing. I'd like to kind of hold them out and question them so that we don't unintentionally put anything into the report that we haven't really closely examined.
Thank you, Kathy. I've got James and then Bill.
Hi, James speaking, and I'll just kind of summarize what I was going to say originally just for the sake of time. I do agree with Kathy that we should probably have a longer discussion about this. As I've mentioned, I think earlier, there are some legitimate interests or legitimate circumstances under which businesses would want to, not necessarily publicly disclose their domain name-related activities. But I will say that in the past, of course, particularly as a provider of SSL services as a certificate authority, GoDaddy has always been an advocate that consumers should only trust commercial providers that are not only not using a privacy service but also have an SSL certificate. So we'll go even a little bit further than just having public information, the who is. But I think our general concern, or at least my general concern with this direction is that, well, you know, I think it sort of kind of underlies this assumption that domain names and websites are synonymous, and that a domain name can be a used for commercial purposes or used for non-commercial purposes, when in fact, you know, that is a content or use issue, which is somewhat beyond the bounds of what ICANN and most registrars would consider within the picket fence and available for domain name policy. And the second thing is just I would probably be a little wary about any recommendation that would create different classes of registrants. Certainly, there are laws that establish individuals versus consumers or natural persons versus legal entities, but I'm not sure that that necessarily should encourage ICANN to go down the same route and start determining that different registrants had different classes of uses. Right now, they're all equal, for better or for worse, and I think that's admirable. So, thanks. But I agree with Kathy. We should probably have a longer discussion about these things.
Okay. Bill?
I, too, agree we're going to need a longer discussion. Things I'd like to point out is having a domain name is not a right, number one. Number two, people make a choice to get one, just like they make a choice whether they drive a car, right, get a driver's license, register a vehicle, register a business, practice a trade. And there are rules associated with those things. And in each of those cases, at least in the United States, but many states, it may not be all, but many states, you must publicly display for a business or certain trades your license. Similarly, with a registration for a car, insurance documents, your license, there are cases where you must disclose it, not just to law enforcement, but to the individual who asks. And to my knowledge, there are no restrictions on what that individual may do with that data, at least in the things I have read. So I am sensitive and very much aware of the tension on these issues. But when we keep, basically I keep hearing that everybody is always allowed to keep their personally identifiable information private. In all cases, and there's ample evidence that that's not the case, in my opinion. So, I think we need to be cognizant of that in the discussions that we have, and people are making choices to take domain names. To James's point, if I could just finish on the
sure, cool.
Now that a domain name is different from a web server, absolutely. But we also need to look at that from, I think, from a consumer perspective. And the consumer really has, they are unaware of all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And I think it's important that we, at some point, look at it that way. You know, expecting a consumer, you know, to me it's like, say, in the United States saying, well, who's actually generating my electricity? You know, I don't know, really. All I know is I plug stuff into the wall and it works. It's all electricity. But in certain places, we're now given the choice, well, I want to, you know, I want renewable energy to supply me. It's hard for consumers to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Thank you. I've got Lynn. And then, you know, I'm getting loud and clear that we want a longer discussion about the concepts of privacy, of data protection, of legitimate interests in this. And my question to you is, how do you see, where do you see this discussion going? Is it in terms, we're thinking very much about the report and how kids are going to get reflected there. Where is this going to take us, and what do we need to do to prepare ourselves for a discussion, or do we need to get something down on paper? What next? How do we take these thoughts on? Lynn.
Yes. I
you probably wanted to say something different. So
no. I agree with everyone that we should have a long discussion. I just wanted to make two quick points. And one is, I think back at our first meeting in London, we did have a consensus that there is a difference between anonymity and privacy. And we did talk about those differences. The other thing that I tried to capture in the consumer trust key concepts is that there is a privacy principle that is law in many parts of the world, that if you're collecting personal data on the web, you have a requirement to be transparent about who you are and how you can be contacted, and that's why some countries require you to register if you are collecting personally identifiable data. So, you know, that's the other dynamic here, that those who collect personal data, you know, really cannot be anonymous, and at least in, you know, many parts of the world, and even where it is not law, that is a pretty well-established privacy principle.
Thank you. And Lynn, while you were speaking, I thought that perhaps the destination for, you know, whatever comes out of our discussions on these concepts, and I think it's right, you know, we're all coming at it from a different point of view. We don't all agree on it, but the approach that you've taken in the consumer, the key concepts, might well be the place where this material ends up. So I've got a note, I think we all have a mental note, that we need more discussion on this, and so this should be on the agenda for our next call, definitely. If we've got no more to say on this, perhaps we can move on to our expectations for Marina Del Rey and then any other business. From my perspective, I think where we're heading is in a healthy direction. I'm hopeful that we should have all of the key elements of the report in draft and circulated before then, which is something we said last week, and we seem to be, you know, getting on track for that, which is very good. Does anybody have anything to add to that?
Are some of us going to get together on the day before, part of the time? I can't remember what. I know we had some discussion.
I can't remember where we ended up on that, Bill. I think that certainly people are drifting in at some point, you know, at different points the day before, and I think that we, you know, there's certainly, I think it would be a very good use of time to get together, you know, if people are around.
Emily, can I add something on this?
Yes, of course, Kathy.
Okay, and then I apologize. I will be leaving shortly. I am coming in. I've arranged to come in about midday, the day before. So, and I've asked for a small room, not a full size conference room necessarily, but some kind of small conference room to be made available. And I'm not sure the status of that. But there'll also be a dinner the night before. Not formal. It's at an Indian restaurant that's right nearby. So for whoever's in, we'll kind of do it. It's walking distance from the hotel. So whenever you get there, come join us, and I'll send out more information about the restaurant. So we'll certainly have an informal discussion, at dinner on any issues we want to talk about. But also, you know, for anyone who wants to be there in the afternoon, maybe you and I can kind of send out emails and pull together, you know, who's coming in and when, and if they want to join us or if they want to go walking on the beach. And we should tell everybody we won't commit to doing anything, but just to talking, because obviously it won't be a formal session of the review team.
That's really good, and I'm sure that we'll all be drifting in during the day on Monday. So it's good to know. Thanks, Kathy, for taking that initiative. I'll speak up. Yeah, we'll all be drifting in. It's good to know that there'll be a room. Thank you, Kathy, for taking that initiative. And we'll be eating together in the evening, so we can just start the discussions, and I think that will give us a very good warm-up. And, Bill, if you've got any more solid, or anybody on the team, if you've got more solid proposals for how we can use that time most valuably, then do just get them out and share them. And then we can, Kathy, perhaps you and I over the next week can start to draw up an agenda for Marina Del Rey, which we can then all reflect on in the next call. Okay. Any other business? Okay. Well, I think if there's no other items of business, I'd like to thank you all. This has been a very productive call. We're progressing now on a number of different fronts at the same time. It can be confusing to keep track of everything, but I think we're getting into better and better shape, and I'm especially pleased that we've got such lively participation on the lists. So please keep those comments coming. Please keep reading the drafts and responding to them, because it will make our lives much, much easier when we come to Marina Del Rey if we're all familiar with the materials. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
All right,
good night. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good morning, wherever you are. Bye.